two or three are gathered together in the Lord's name, the rest of it is what? He is there in the midst. What a blessing it's been to have been here this evening already. As our purpose for gathering was to gather here in the name of the Lord to worship our Savior and our Heavenly Father. And different ones have testified of the various blessings and how God has blessed and touched and spoken to your hearts. God is real, and His Holy Spirit lives within each and every true child of His. What a privilege it is to just have a place like this.
Yeah.
To continue on. In case you wonder, I wonder if Pastor ever thinks about the church and how many people are here now and how many people used to be here. Does he ever think about that? Yeah, we used to have triple on occasion of what we had this morning. We had 52, I think. You say we had at least 154 here. Yeah, there was a time before that notorious summer when in one summer, literally 30 people that were here every Sunday moved away. So you go from 150 and you take off 30 people. Now on a regular Sunday, you're only 120. Because last month, when those 30 people were here, they moved away. They didn't get mad. They didn't go to another church. They moved away. The Lord took them away, and we've never recovered from that. And over the years, we've watched as our numbers have gone down. And a year ago, our numbers were in the 50s. Once in a while, we hit the low 60s. And it seems like in the last 6 months, especially since COVID, you know, we have some people that have not once yet come back. They're fearful to come back. And so now our regulars are 40s and 50s in the morning service. I wonder if Pastor ever thinks, well, you know, what's the point? What's the point? I mean, the church is so small in comparison to what it used to be. Why don't we just turn off the lights, shut the doors, and call it quits here? And as I sat and I listened, and as I was able to be a part of the blessings of this morning and this evening, what a day this has been to cast its vote for never think our church is down so small that what's the point? What good are we doing in this community? Did you listen to the testimonies? Did you listen to the things that were being said about the impact and the influence and the words of gratefulness and the teaching that is able to go forth? God help us to continue on and to be faithful until He comes or calls us home. Amen. Isn't that what it ought to be? Amen. Well, you got an extra one I wasn't planning on this evening. That one wasn't scripted. But I trust your heart has been blessed, and you will continue to thank the Lord Would Pastor like it if our numbers were what they used to be? You bet. That'd be great. But he hasn't seen fit. We keep praying for our hearts. For years, that has been a regular Wednesday night prayer request of mine. When we take the prayer, pray for our hearts. Why do I request that? Because God knows our hearts. He knows the condition of our hearts. And he knows what we need in order for him to be able to bless us here. And so I keep praying for our hearts and the Lord's work in our hearts, that we can see God pour out his blessings on our church. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, and we'll see what we can share that I had planned on sharing this evening, okay? Thank you, Father, for the time that's ours. Thank you for the testimonies of your grace and your goodness. We thank you for the opportunities that we have shared as a church family to worship, praise you, sing your praises, and rejoice in the truth of the coming of our Savior and what that salvation means to us. Father, we're not a perfect congregation. There's not a one of us that is a perfect Christian. But I pray that you would just continue to pour out your blessings on us as you are able. May each of us have a heart for the things of you. May each of us have a hatred for sin and wrong in our lives. May there be a willingness to live for you and do what we ought to do in your sight, so that you can abundantly bless even more and more. Now speak to us. As we take a few moments in praise and honor of your word, we wait on you, we look to you, in your name I pray, amen. Jerry mentioned, and I've mentioned it in recent weeks, of the blessing of the study that John has been giving us in our Sunday morning Sunday school hour, Bibliology, the Doctrine of the Bible. And we have looked at many various features of it. And as John was teaching this morning, he was talking about perhaps changing gears and approaching that topic in a bit different way. If I understood him correctly, what he is going to be teaching in the coming weeks is the application of the Word of God and how in some of the issues that we face in life, how does the Word of God help us in responding to some of the issues that are prevalent around us? If you're not a Sunday school person, you ought to be. You're missing a lot of good truth. And all it just takes just set that alarm a little bit earlier on Saturday night before you go to bed and come be a part of that. Well, in light of what we have been looking at, I have just collected some things a long time ago, and I want to share this evening. And Andrew, you like the title, those discs back there. This one's called In Praise of God's Word. In Praise of God's Word. And this is one that blows you note takers out of the water because we don't have any points. It's not point one, two, and three. We're just going to look at some different verses, and the time that remains, I want us to just look at some things that makes God's word so precious to us, and some things to encourage us from God's word. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to know that we live in a day and age today where we are taught there is no such thing as absolute truth. That's been going on for a generation or two. It's interesting when they make that statement, there is no such thing as absolute truth. Sounds to me like that is an absolute statement. And yet they say there are no absolutes. Is that true or isn't that true? Are there absolutes, or is it left up to every individual to decide for ourselves what is truth? What is the answer to this? What is the answer to that? How thankful I am for God's word. And I'll tell you why. As we look at some of these features in praise of God's word, if you came this evening to learn something new, you might as well fold up shop, walk out the door, because you're not going to hear anything new at all tonight. I am not going to be reading from some newly discovered truth in God's word. We're going to be just simply sharing truth that we need from time to time to be reminded of. 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things which thou hast heard of me among faithful men, the same... No, I said that wrong. The things which thou hast heard among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to do what? Teach others also. We need to know what we say we believe. And if ever we're facing a time, I don't know about you, I know our Lord is in control, but you know what? I'm asking myself, what in the world is in store for the United States of America in these next 4 years, if the Lord tarries? I don't know. Only the Lord does. And we may be facing situations in these coming years that we might be up against things that we have never, ever in our Christian life had to even consider. But only the Lord knows what's coming. And we talk about how that God's word, you know, I trust God, and I trust what it says in His word. But you know, the important thing is what we have emphasized, and I think perhaps John may have even emphasized it this morning. It's one thing to just say, well, it says it in the Bible. But you know what is far more important? To open up the Bible and show it to the person and let them read it for themselves and let them see. This is not just some nitwit that has come up with this, but this is, here's where he gets it. And when we do that, you know, the issue, it's between them and the Lord. If they say, well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. That's not your problem. You can't make anybody believe anything, but you can give them the opportunity for the Word of God to, which it's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. That's one of our things here. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. To just say, well, it's in the Bible is one thing, but when you put the Bible before them, The Bible is alive and it's powerful. And it gives the Lord the opportunity to use that word to do a mighty work in someone's hearts. Well, all right, if we're going to get through this, I guess I better get going, huh, dear? Probably. All right, I'm getting that look. All right. Okay, some features to encourage us. For believers, we lay stress on the Word. We talk about how important God's Word is. Why? Why? Here's why. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Can someone quote it? Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the Word of God. What's so important about faith? Pardon? We're saved through faith. It's a life of faith is what has always, Old Testament, New Testament, it has always been faith in God that has been that which has met with His approval, right or wrong. Abraham, referred to as the man of what? Faith. He believed what God said. Did he ever fail? Did he ever falter? Absolutely. He was a man. But when he faltered and he failed, he still kept his faith in God. And the only place you or I are going to get faith is where? From the Word of God. We don't go to the store and buy it. You can't order it on Christian book distributors outlet, online. I'd like a good dose of it. You don't go to the pharmacy and get a good bottle of faith. Faith comes by spending time in the Word of God with the person of God, via His Holy Spirit, who lives within us. And it's the Holy Spirit's ministry to take the Word of God and open your eyes and mine and give us understanding. He will do that when we spend time in the Word. Now, I don't know whether you've ever figured it out or not, but you know that Bible sitting on your shelf from Sunday until the following Sunday, do you know that those words are not going to jump out and yell at you as you happen to walk by that coffee table that that's sitting on? Hey, listen to this. Hey, here's something good for you. If you and I never crack the book, guess what? We're not going to be growing in it. We're not going to be learning from it. So, what's one of the features that's such a blessing and an encouragement? We need God's Word because it is the source of faith. 1 Peter 1:23 tells us one of the blessings for the believer and the importance of it. It tells us in 1 Peter 1:23 this next thought, and it's Peter wrote, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. What do we see there that is so praiseworthy concerning God's Word? We are born again by the Word of God. Peter said, this is what was instrumental in our salvation, the Word of God. And the importance of the Word of God as another feature, not only is it the means of bringing us to salvation, as Peter clearly said that's how we're born again, by the Word of God. But that Word does what? What's the rest of the verse? It what? It lives and it abides forever. It lives and it abides forever. As we think about that thought of abiding forever, that takes us to Psalm 119, verse 89, which tells us this: Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It abides. It doesn't change. It's not here for grandpa and grandma. And boy, you know, I know they used to really appreciate it. And even so did my parents. But you know, it's changed. It's not the same anymore. Oh yeah? It liveth and abideth forever. Peter's words, the psalmist's words, tells us that it is settled. His word is settled forever. Where? In heaven. And where is the Lord right now? He's there. His word is here to stay. In James chapter 1, verse 18, we find another thought concerning God's word and what makes it so praiseworthy. It tells us here, James wrote, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits unto his creative, first fruits of his creatures. In James' words, what do we find there that is so praiseworthy about God's word? Pardon? It is truth. It's the word of truth. Remember my opening statements? We are living in a day and age today when truth is assaulted. Truth is denied. Truth is irrelevant to multitudes of people. And you say, well, this is what the truth is. That's what you say. I say it's this. We are in the day and age, just like in the time of the judges, when every man did that which was what?
Right.
Right in his own eyes. There was no truth in the time of the judges. There was no connection to God through a priesthood or anything. And when man gets away from God's word, man becomes his own judge. Man becomes his own determining factor. And that was society then, and guess what? It's run full circle. I honestly, to me, we are living in the days of judges as far as the average person in society. Everybody does what's right in their own eyes. Look at this last election. Look at the things that have surfaced. But we have ways of doing things. We have laws that have been passed, and we have... Did that make any difference in some issues? Seemingly not. We're living in the day and age today where people have a way of twisting and reshaping and redefining and making things say, and things like our Constitution are being attacked, and there are those who are saying that's not really what our founding fathers meant to say, but this is what it means. No, everybody does that which is right in their own eyes. God help us. How thankful we ought to be that his word is truth. The Lord Jesus spoke that very same thing. Sanctify them through thy what? Truth. Thy word is truth. Well, Matthew 24:35 carries us in another direction. We touched a bit on this a few moments ago when we talked about how that it lives and it abides forever, and the Word is settled forever in heaven. The Lord put it another way in Matthew 24, verse 35, when he said this, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." God's Word is the most enduring thing you can name. God's Word. You say, well, heaven and earth, nothing's ever going to happen to that. Yeah, well, the Lord has said it right here. We look at the Old Testament prophecies, and it talks about a new heaven and a new earth. You turn to the book of Revelation, and it talks about the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was a new heaven and a new earth. What's going to happen to God's Word during all of that transition? Not one thing. It's going to remain. Isn't that good? Isn't that something? In Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 28 and 29, we find something else the prophet said as we take a different direction here in the importance of God's Word. What did the prophet say here in verses 28 and 29 of Jeremiah 23? He said, "The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" What are you trying to point out here, Pastor? I'm suggesting here that through the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord teaches us that his word is powerful. It's like a hammer that breaks and smashes rocks. I already quoted a while ago Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For you note takers, as it talks about the capacity of the word, it's living and it can divide and pierce and all of that. I'm not going to quote that again. But that goes right along with this same principle, this same point as we think of that. Is God's word important or isn't it? Certainly it is. Well, I have some others. But how about we continue this next week? Would that be all right? I don't want to just continue this on, carry it on. We're not done with the notes. That's what happens when I gave you that off the top of the head message a while ago. But anyway, I send you home, hopefully, with some encouragement. God's Word. Should we appreciate it? Can we trust it? Should we live by it? Should we share it with others? Yes, 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 yes. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed, shall we? Thank you, Father, for your word. We've enjoyed our time here this evening. We've enjoyed the singing. We've enjoyed the testimonies. We've enjoyed the truth concerning your word. I guess I would just sum it up by saying it has been good to have been in the house of the Lord. Take us safely to our homes. Continue to bless us with good health. Protect us from this virus that's out and about. And may we live for you. We thank you in your name.